If not, and you'd like to read with us, in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, just reading a verse here, well, we want to read the 12th verse and the 16th verse. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Then going down to the 16th verse, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Then if you turn over into Titus, the 2nd chapter, and starting with the 11th verse, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now here he told both of these young men in the ministry, one, let no man despise thy youth, and the other one, let no man despise thee. And I don't think that he meant that you can stop them, but in other words, don't let it bother you because they do despise you. Because even in this day and time in which we live, you'll find that people, if you stand upon the word of the Lord, the very things that he was teaching here, people find fault with. Here he said in the last part of that 14th verse, purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And today, if you try and teach anybody that if you really right with God, you're going to be bringing forth works unto righteousness, they'll start saying that you're trying to teach that we're being saved by our works. No, but if we are a Christian, the Bible says there, we're going to be zealous of good works. In other words, that's going to be our desire. That's going to be the intent of our heart, is to live a life to where the world can see that the main thing with us is to do that pleases God, to separate ourselves from the things of the world. Then if you'd like to read with us here in the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy, start with the very first verse. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now here, as Paul was talking to these two men, he was telling them, and you'll find if you study this out, this wasn't long before Paul was to give his life for taking the stand on the doctrine, for being just what God would have him to be. And here you'll find today there's all kinds of people around the world that they will push doctrine to you, but it's the doctrine that they have set up and they chose. But that is not what Paul is speaking about. When he's speaking of doctrine, he means the very words of Jesus Christ. He means the very word of God, basing your whole life upon the doctrine that Christ taught, upon being a righteous person here, to revive the blood of Jesus Christ, coming out from the world, being a separated people, having that hunger, that desire to please God, not worrying about what the world thinks about you. Hearing me say it,
don't let that deter me. You preach the word. Oh God, exhort me through by the word of the Lord. And today, in our churches across the world, or around the whole world, preachers don't want to stand up and speak and rebuke anybody because they're afraid that they might be offended. But Paul here was telling these men that that was the way for them to stand upon the Word of God and to teach it, was to use it to instruct people, and those that don't want to hear, then use that word to rebuke them. What does that mean? That means to come strong against a person. Don't fight them on the line. If a preacher's got a member that's not wanting to live according to the Word of the Lord, they want to hold on to the things of the world. Eat the rebuke, Lord, and let them know that's not pleasing unto God, and it won't be accepted and tolerated in our church today. But you'll find most of the churches, they lay down the rules against what it takes to be a Christian and to come fall out of favor with God in the church. But you'll find that most of them are interested in getting people in a big number. But you know, according to the Bible, if they don't want to live that way, they're going to be turned out of the church. And yet, that's one of the things that doesn't happen anymore. Why? Because people are afraid that they might offend somebody and they'll go off and talk about them, and it might hurt their influence. Well, don't you think they talked about Paul when they beat him down with stone, when they stripped him and beat his back? I wonder how many of the Christian friends looked upon the way Paul was treated and said, he must not be doing that to God, or God wouldn't allow that to happen unto a godly man. But Paul looked at it, if this is all that it cost me, for standing for God, and I'm going to receive what God has promised me, it's a very small price to pay. But today, somebody, can you say a word that hurts somebody feeling, and they're ready to stay out of church and never go back again? But God instructed his people, not only the preacher, but Christians, to stand firm upon his word, not to compromise, not to give in, but to be a witness that is not ashamed to bear persecution for Christ, but to be one of those that's going to let the world see that there is a standard that God requires us to live by. You know, here in what Paul was telling Timothy, you'll find most preachers get this read to them, or used to anyhow, in their ordination service as the charge of what that a preacher should be. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know, that's some of the things there. Everybody wants to be praised. But you know, right here, the three words that he gave, reprove, rebuke, then exhort. You know, you and I today, not many people wants to be reproved or taught that they shouldn't do something. Rebuked and just made plain before the whole world of just how wrong that they are. Nobody likes that. But yet that's what Paul was saying that we need to do. You know, when I was growing up today, they'll tell parents, oh, don't whip that child. Don't embarrass him in front of his friend. Don't do this, don't do that. You'll just make a mess out of him. If you do that, all we got to do is look around and see how young people are a mess today. pride helped their behavior. Half of them anymore are in trouble with the teacher, with the law before they ever get out of school. What's wrong is it because that we settle down and talk to and they heed the word, knowing the cause it don't reach the heart and the mind of the person. But when I was growing up, my father was one of them that believed if talent could do a person, then Rachel, and it didn't teach them what they needed, then he didn't have them in a problem with teaching the public. When he told us not to do something, and that didn't stick in our mind, he put something on our backside that lasted a little longer. And if after a while you got to the place where you thought, well, I'll disobey again, that thought would come to your mind. Don't let it go like when you disobeyed the last time. Are you ready to pay that price? When we raise people up with no price to pay for their disobedience, and we come dull, and we say, it's all right, I can do as I please. I'm an adult, there's no price to be paid. I'm accountable to my own self, and we forget there's a higher power that we're going to give an account to. There is a price to be paid for our sin, for our rebellion, for our disobedience.
And though we might think we're getting by fine here, and it's costing us nothing, when we come before God, we're going to find that the price that we're having to pay is something that we was in hope to, I guess, miss. By the mercies of God, we was in hope that it wouldn't be that way when we stood there. Listen, he said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. You and I, right there, it teaches us just what that redemption of Christ makes of us. Peculiar people, zealous of good works. If you blend in with the world, if they can't tell that there's things different in you than there is in them, you're sure not peculiar, are you? You'll find that the biggest majority of the world today is on the road to hell. The biggest majority of the people living around the world is on the road to hell. Why? God said there's going to be a few that's going to go in. There's only a few that wants to live according to the standard that God laid down. That's why any that does, you'll hear them talk about, even in the news, if a man, a preacher stands up and tries to teach what the word of the Lord said, you'll find people, they'll mock it, they'll make fun of it, they'll act like he's weak-minded. And I come back to that point that my dad made one time when I was just a kid. We had a whole bunch of roosters and a large barnyard of chickens. He said he just liked all kinds of chickens. He had everything from an old feather-legged baby all the way up to the old wild-dog rooster. And he had this one rooster. He thought he was a meanest thing out there. And he had as he was growing up, he was a craven, and he jumped on them all, and had them all scared of it. Well, they got tired of it, and one morning he went out there before they ever come off of the roof, and he caught that old rooster. He took him in the corn crib, he took one of color fans, and he painted him up several different colors. After those all got out there, and he repeated them, he carried that big old rooster out there and set him down right in the middle of it. He had to look at himself. He didn't know there was anything different about it. He thought, I'm still the boss. But the rest of them recognized him, and everyone jumped on it. It wasn't about 15 minutes. They had to go get that rooster and take him and wash him off.
Because they had him so beat down, they had to save his life. Why? He was a peculiar one that was set there at the bar door. They wasn't used to it. Some hammer one jumped on it.
And after washing him and cleaning him up, Dad took him back out there and set him down. Though these others sort of looked at him and was a little bit shy of him, his spirit had already been broken because they'd all beat on him. And he ran from even the little feather leg baby. You and I today, if we're that peculiar one, the world is going to jump on us and beat on us. But that's no excuse to run. God wants us to stand in the fight as Paul did. If you'll go on down and read that, in that fourth chapter, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul knew what he had done. He knew how he stood before the Lord. Paul did not run. When it come time for him to face them, he stood and faced them. You'll find that Paul told one of them when they thought Paul was mad, crazy. Paul said, I wish every one of them was just as I am, except for these bars. Paul wanted everybody to have what he had with God. You and I today, if we know Christ is our Savior, we need to offer Him unto the world, no matter what it costs us here. Paul, because he stood and would not back down and preach the Word of God, he had a few like Paul of Timothy and Titus that followed him and believed in what he preached. He had a few that were willing to stand also and bear the persecution. Even when Paul was in prison, he had a few that were willing to come and minister unto him. Those that marked him also for persecution. Why? Because they love God. They love the one that has stood and for the persecution to be a witness unto them. You and I today, are we selling God out because we're afraid to bear the persecution? Am I? I've seen preachers stand in a pulpit. My dad was one that would not back down. I've heard people say the way he come in, he's the best preacher I've ever heard. But he's just too strict. You can't be stricter than the Word of God. We need to preach it the way God did it. That people might see their need and realize they're lost. And on the road to hell, unless they come and become what God wants us to be, and that's that peculiar person. He said, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You and I today, if our desire is to blend in and not have to bear persecution here, then that don't look very much like a Christian that Paul was talking about, does it? You know, you'll hear a lot of preachers tell you, oh, God is love. I heard a preacher once say, I was saved by grace plus nothing. And he didn't expect anything out of the people that was in his church. They come, they believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that made them a Christian, and that was it. And basically, they went on living the same as they did beforehand. You and I, that's not it. Grace may forgive us. We may get that forgiveness through and by that blood that was shed there on Calvary. But that's just the starting point. God expects us to grow into a righteous Christian. That's an example for the whole world to see. You know, when you plant a tree, my dad coming back there again, I can remember Dad seeing in a book an apple tree that he could buy
and it had five different kinds of apples on it. Well, there's a couple of apples in that tree that Dad didn't really care that much for, and it was an expensive tree. On today's standards, what he would have been paying for then was cheap, but on the wages Dad made, it was expensive. And Dad thought, well, if they can do that, I can do it. So he bought him some tree. You could buy the individual trees a whole lot cheaper. And he bought him three trees of the apple he liked the best. And then he found some around through the country of other apples he liked. And this little tree, when it started up, he cut it totally off, all the branches, and grafted in what he wanted into this little tree. And he had, I forget how many different apples growing on this, and he was so proud of it. But he started out with a purpose in mind of what he wanted. From the time that he planted that little tree, he had a purpose for it. You and I, when we come to the Lord, we're just the start of a tree God's got a purpose for us. And if we'll be obedient unto His Word, He will grow us into that He wants us to be. And we can become much more than we ever realized. That seed that was planted that started that first tree that Dad had, I don't remember what kind of an apple it was, but that was all that seed had any potential of being. So it was placed in Dad's hand, and He added it to it what He wanted. You and I, what our potential is here in this life, don't amount to very much until we place ourselves in the hands of God. And then it becomes unlimited. I don't know what God wants of me, what the future holds, but as long as I yield unto God, it'll be far more than I could ever accomplish within myself. You and I today, we need to make sure that we obey the voice of the Lord and care not what the world thinks about us. You know, my dad preached messages that I wish that we had on tape or some way of letting the world hear them today. But we've got a few that's on the website of Dad's preaching. And each and every one that heard Dad back when those messages preached had no idea that those very words that they were sitting there listening at that time out in the future could be heard around the whole world. God's Word said, God in His Word, He said, His Word would not return unto Him void. I don't know who those messages were meant to be heard back in that time who was sent there. I don't know if God's plan was more for somebody to hear it today than it was on the day that He gave it. But God knew each and every ear that would hear that bell at cross time. I don't know how long they'll be traveling through the airway around the world, but God knows. You and I today, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but my God knows. And He's just waiting for us to get up each day and say, Lord, here I am, use me this day. Accomplish with me that You'd have me to accomplish, that I might bring glory and honor and praise unto Thee. Because Paul, Timothy, Titus, each and every man that's ever truly known God, or every woman that's ever known God, realizes it's nothing good that we've done. It's all come through and by the gift of God. But when God changes us, if we're truly born again and God changes us into that new creature, then our wants and our desires are going to change along with it. What we want here in this life is going to be totally different. You know, the Bible said He gives us the sincere desires of our heart.
Well, you look around the world, Christian people must not be desiring very much of the things of the Lord. You'll find all kinds of people. They'll strive for years. They'll make all kinds of sacrifices to obtain something they want, or it's some fine home or a fine automobile, some fine garment to wear. They'll make all kinds of sacrifices for those. But when it comes to the things of the Lord, they act like, oh, that's too much to ask me to do that. After all, it's just a gift from God because He loves me. Well, we got to prove ourselves that we love God also. And by that is our obedience unto the word of the Lord. And if we're not obedient unto what God says, why should God keep pouring out His Spirit and His blessings on us? You and I, He said, we got to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. When we come to the Lord, God cleans us up. But after that, it's our job to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. What does that mean? Can I clean myself back up? Not with my own hands. But I can get back on my knees and repent before God for the failings, for my shortcomings. And then I am clean again, ever with hope. You and I today, Paul said, I die daily. If a man of God like Paul felt like he needed to take inventory and examine himself and lay himself out that living sacrifice before God each and every day, me and you surely need to do it. While we get some song to sing, what's in your heart today? Do you truly know Christ as your Savior? Have you surrendered unto His will? Are you really that peculiar person? Are you zealous of good works? Is your desire to do the work of the Lord? You know, when I got right with God, that was the first desire that I had. I wanted to do something for God. So my family sang, my mother and sisters, and I thought, sing I will, because I used to sing with them when I was just a kid. So I started singing with them. And that was fine. There was not a thing wrong with that. God started dealing with me about preaching, and I started telling Him I'm singing, that's good enough. So He took my talent to sing away. I couldn't carry a tune. I couldn't get with them and nothing. I had to quit singing. But I still wasn't willing to preach. Unto God withdrew the Spirit. I couldn't feel that. And that was the thing that got my attention. To where I said, Lord, if you just let me feel your Spirit, just bless me again. If you want me to preach, I'll try. You and I today, we can't just say, well, God, I'm going to do this and you'll be satisfied with it or else. We do what God asks of us. If we want to go to heaven, we've got to be willing to work in His venue where He puts us, doing the job that He asked of us. While we sing, will you come? Each and every one of us today, God desires to use and to make something great of us. Though we might never look at ourselves as being great, Paul, you'll find that in himself, he did not like to boast. The only reason he boasted any about what he'd done or anything was to encourage other people. You and I today, testify of what good that we've done is no good to us except to maybe lift somebody else up. Because after all, no matter what we've accomplished, I don't care the greatest evangelist, the best Christian that's ever lived, accomplished nothing except God worked through them. We're just an instrument. You know, I've got several tools around my house. Some of them I can use. None of them am I truly what you call a skilled craftsman with. But even at that, as long as that tool is laying there and I'm not doing nothing with it, it's accomplishing nothing. It's got great opportunities with it. Some of them I've never found the best because I just don't have the skill myself. Though that there's nothing wrong with that tool, it's me. But I found that tool in my hand, I can accomplish a lot of different jobs if I've got a hold of the right instrument for doing the job. Well, you and I today, that's all we are. We're just an instrument in the hand of God. But unlike me, there's not a job that God don't know how to do. He just waits for me and you to say, Lord, here am I, use me. Lord, here am I, use me. And if we will, He can accomplish greater things than we could ever imagine. Please, yield ourselves unto His will.